Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of June, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets with Ben Pruce of the Everly, Iowa facility that belongs to the Andersons. Discuss the weather forecast, too, that with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. And along the way, Dave Dickey will be here with a look at today's agricultural news. By the way, you can find Dave and I on Twitter if you'd like. He's at David A. Dickey. I'm at Commodity Week. And you can always find both of us online at willag.org. And stay with us right now. I'll take you through the closing market report for this Friday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Either way, the numbers settled up in Chicago today. Futures in the soft red winter wheat at $5.86, a settlement price up 3/4 for the July contract. The hard red up 7 3/4 at $7.13 1/4. July corn today up 3 cents at $4.47. September at $4.43 up 3, and December at $4.47 1/2, 3 3/4 higher. March at 4.58 1/4, 3 3/4 higher, and May corn at 4.65 up 3 1/4. July of next year at 4.71 1/4, 3 1/4 cents higher. In December 2015, corn up 3 1/4 cents, $4.62 the settlement price there. July beans today, $14.25 3/4, a gain of 10.5 cents. August at $13.69 1/2, up 9 1/4. November beans at $12.21 1/4, 9 cents higher. January up 9 at $12.27 3/4, and July of next year at $12.41 3/4, up 9 cents. Up for Grins, November beans of 2015 at $11.96, up a dime for the day. Bean meal at $4.67.90, down $1.30. Bean oil at $39.69, up $1.11 on the afternoon. July, or rather June, live cattle futures at $147.60, were up $1.60. August at $146.62 1/2, $1.57 1/2 higher. August feeder cattle at $208.15, up $2.30. And the June lean hogs at $115.90 were down 7.5 cents. July, up $1.07 1/2 at $127. This is the closing market report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets are like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day trading the July contract at $106.63 a barrel. That's a dime higher. RBOB gasoline at $3.09, down 3 3/10. Ethanol futures at $2.15 4/10. Up 2 3/10, and the spread between the two is 5 6/10 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. It's still 89 6/10 of a cent wide. Natural gas at $4.73 9/10, down 2 3/10. Diesel fuel a penny lower for the day at $2.97 9/10 percent, 9/10 of a gallon. And the gold futures for the day at $1,273.80, up a dime. U.S. dollar at 80.64. That's up 0.06 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area, as it comes from the National Weather Service, shows 71 degrees as the high for the afternoon. At the moment, headed to maybe 75 on a sunny sky with a north-northwest wind at about 11 miles an hour. It feels magnificent outside. If you haven't been there, go. It's great today. Clear skies this evening, a low of 48. Saturday, sunny and 80. Saturday night, clear and 57. Sunny skies on Sunday and 85 degrees, and on Sunday evening, maybe some showers, a few thunderstorms, cloudy and 69 degrees. That chance of rainfall, which is set at 60% on Sunday night, will diminish to 30% by the time we get to Monday during the day, and then turn partly sunny with a high of 83 degrees. Monday night, showers and thunderstorms could return, partly cloudy and 69. They'll stay with us on Tuesday, but mostly sunny skies. And 86 Tuesday night, those chance of showers and thunderstorms sticks around, mostly cloudy and 69. And on Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny in the area, and a high of 86 degrees. More on the weather forecast as we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Urbana-Champaign.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org and on Twitter at Commodity Week or at David A. Dickey. On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in Chicago for today and for the week is Mike Zuzlow. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Father's Day to you, sir.
Well, happy Father's Day to you as well. Looking forward to a great weekend. Should be magnificent here. I think probably you've got a nice forecast there, too.
I think we'll have to get the barbecue out this weekend.
Lots of people apparently are getting the barbecue out because the price of beef continues to go up.
It does indeed, and that weaker corn price sure does give the bulls more enthusiasm to press the long side even higher.
Yeah, in the August live cattle and the August feeder cattle for the week spiked higher. That live cattle spike's kind of... That's quite a jump, up $5 and what, 32.5 cents. Feeder cattle gapped higher for the week. They were up $7.62.5. That's quite the market on fire. It's been that way for a while, though.
Yeah, it has. We had a little bit of a setback a week or two ago, and that was just a measuring retracement to take out the to test the recent lows, and we just kept on going after that. I think you're seeing that choice select spread continue to narrow, and that's helping the live cattle and kind of give it some extra stimulus as well.
So the meats are higher, including the lean hogs, which finished up $2.02.5 in the July at $127. But as you mentioned, corn futures in Chicago finished not only the day, they finished the week lower, although they were higher on the day. That was kind of a nice end to the week, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, to finish up on the meats, I think between now and the quarterly grain stocks report and the acreage report, we may not get much out of the corn market in terms of the investment flows, Todd. But I think we got to keep in the back of our minds that we are seeing the crude oil jump because of the geopolitical tensions. We're seeing the gold rally with an inflationary bias returning, and we're seeing the meats come on pretty hard here with funds picking up those longs that they dumped out of a couple weeks ago. And so I think you're getting a pretty good sense here that there is an inflationary bias building in commodities again, and I think grains would be probably on board with that. But we may have to wait until we get past that grain stocks and acreage report, because not only the weather for the Corn Belt, but also, and probably more importantly, the trade just doesn't want to buy into this market until it sees a low in the price of wheat. But you're right, the price action this week, interesting to note and kind of relative to what we were just talking about, Dease Corn was able to close above its report day low, report day close. Nov Beans able to close above its report day close. July soft wheat was even able to close above its or close below its report day low or close. So we did not see the soft red wheat out of corn, beans, and hard red wheat. All of them closed above their report day close, but we did not see the soft red wheat. So we can see pretty clearly where the trouble is and where the low needs to come in.
I take it then that that's in the SRW, and it's harvest time, so that's pretty normal at this time of year.
It is. This is where the USDA report did not give me what I needed as far as a report that showed a smaller crop and smaller ending stocks. They instead showed a smaller crop but bigger U.S. ending stocks. And it, very puzzling to me, and I would have to say I'm in disagreement with this mindset, and I think the USDA is going to have to walk back some of these numbers because they raised the EU crop. That I could get away with, but I still think they're a little bit gutsy on that. They raised the Russian wheat crop, which I think is a real problematic issue given their last 30 days of weather. And most importantly, they raised the Indian wheat crop, even though the monsoon in India for the month of June is way delayed. With the India monsoon and meteorological authority was talking about a 93% monsoon instead of 100 or 110. So we've got some problems brewing in India, but USDA went ahead and raised the crop. But you're right, we have a real contentious problem with the soft red wheat. The hard red wheat yields are coming in Oklahoma in that 5 to 30 bushel range, a lot of it in those teens, and I think that maybe helped bring the hard red wheat back a little bit today on the close, but soft red just isn't ready to play ball yet.
Can you give me a set of fundamentals for corn that might show support over the summer months. What might they be? And I've got an idea, but maybe I can take you through some of what I think. But tell me what you think that those things that are supportive to the market for corn might be in the summer months.
Yeah, taking the wheat completely off the table, I think the first and foremost is the supply side, is that the trade at 435 or 440 December corn futures, my price model would say you're already banking on a 2 billion bushel carryover, so you've already priced in a large degree of El Nino. I think then you slip over to the demand side, and there's not much bad news. In fact, pretty much everything is good news when it comes to the demand side. Hog weights remain high. We just talked about the feeder cattle and how profitable it will be to feed those to heavier weights to try and get more out of that higher expensive feeder, light feeder you're buying. You've got a very good ethanol base developing here. We've got ethanol 95 cents a gallon discount to the RBOB right now. That's extremely appealing to the ethanol blenders, and you know, you have not seen any kind of backing off on the demand side and the export front with the corn either. And one of the big points that USDA made and why they lowered wheat demand in domestically and globally was because of the corn feeding and the relationship that the Europeans are especially going after a lot more corn feeding this year and probably going to see one of the highest levels in the last 5 years. So I think there's a lot brewing there in the corn, and in fact, I would say the last 50 cents of downside in December corn to take us below 480, 475 area has been almost all wheat. And the fact that the wheat is now at the Gulf of Mexico, soft red wheat is now the lowest since July of 2010.
Okay, so one of the things you mentioned was that you thought in your models that the price action was showing a 2 billion bushel carryout for corn for next year. So that'd be up, what, 300 million? And I'm guessing, does that mean they're looking at a 167 or 168 on the average yield then?
Yeah, I think you've probably got a little bit smaller acreage number being talked about in Chicago right now, but you're talking about a 168 to 170 yield being talked about. And, you know, we talked about this on Commodity Week not too long ago, and you know, I don't think there was a lot of disagreement that the trade felt, or the people that were talking about the trade along with you and I were thinking that that 165 is fairly easy to get to and that we're on our way to 170 if we continue to see good weather.
All right. So at the moment, though, the way you have to view it, I suppose, is we don't have that in the bin. So this is a discount to the marketplace.
Yeah, it's undervalued. I think that's the simplest point you can make.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anything a producer can do to take advantage of that or should do to take advantage of that? At all?
Yeah, livestock producers, I put out on the report day to come in and get some September 460 corn calls bought right away.
Right.
Take advantage of, 100% of your feed needs for the next 3 to 4 months in case we do have any problems with getting that early crop off in the corn. And I'll probably be looking to do the same thing in the meal with the bean side of the equation for the livestock producers as well. But right now, I'm going to say for the hedger, for the corn hedger, the corn producer, you're just waiting for that wheat low to come in, and once that wheat low comes in, I put it in the copy this week, I think you're looking at a cycle low in corn that would put you at the lowest point going all the way into harvest, that we have a low in place coming, I think, right before or right after this acreage and stocks report in corn, once the wheat bottoms, that we would not be able to challenge again until we get to the harvest time period. So I think this is where you want to probably pull some puts off, pull paper positions off, and look at the idea of reinstituting those hedges at higher levels.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. I really do appreciate it.
And I appreciate all you do. Thank you, sir.
All right. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. If you get a chance, stay with us on our home radio station at 2:36. We'll start Commodity Week this afternoon. Our panelists will include Matt Bennett from TGM, Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, and Elaine Cobb of Mastering the Grain Markets.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the House has delayed at least till next week action on USDA's budget in the wake of the primary defeat of GOP Majority Leader Eric Cantor. Of the 8 agricultural appropriation amendments that the House considered by roll call vote this week, only one was passed, an amendment offered by House Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Ed Royce to add more money for the purchase of food aid in other countries. Cantor says he will resign his leadership position effective July 31st. USDA says a Missouri company has recalled possibly tainted beef products distributed to 2 restaurants and a grocery chain. Jackson-based Fruitland American Meat is recalling about 4,012 pounds of beef because it could contain parts of the nervous system that can carry properties related to mad cow disease. BSE is fatal to cows and can cause a fatal human brain disease in people who eat tainted beef. USDA says there's no indication the slaughtered cattle showed signs of BSE. The agency characterized the recall as a Class 2 recall, meaning there is a remote probability of health problems associated with using the recalled product. A recent announcement by China that it would stop issuing permits for imports of U.S.-produced dried distillers grains is sending DDG prices on an unprecedented downward spiral. China's move came as a result of the country's long-standing reluctance to approve the MIR-162 trait in corn. Merchandising companies reported drops in spot prices between $10 and $45 per ton in the past week. Meanwhile, China's largest feed producer today says that China's move to end its annual stockpiling program for soybeans shows its grain security policy is being redefined and could pave the way for liberalization of the corn trade. China, which has long been obsessed with food security, ended its stockpiling system for soybeans and cotton this year after it failed to boost planting by farmers while also pushing domestic prices well above international markets. New Hope is the largest consumer of corn in China and processed more than 18 million tons of corn into feed last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you that you can find us online at willag.org or on Twitter at Commodity Week or at David A. Dickey. Now, up next, you know, there might be a few more hogs around come this fall. I have more with Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt. Fall hog supplies will be drawn from the spring farrowings, where USDA reported producers' intentions were up 2%. Purdue's Chris Hurt says, assuming a 1% drop in the number of pigs per litter, with some continued PEDV impact and 2% higher weights, this implies the fall pork supply will be up 2-3%, and that the price of pork might spiral lower.
Hog prices reached their highs near $100 on a live weight basis in the last week of March and have been in the process of coming back down to earth since. In recent days, prices have fallen to the low 80s. A current futures-based forecast suggests hog prices will be in the mid 80s this summer before falling sharply this fall, with a fourth quarter average near $70. Further moderation in prices is expected into 2015, with winter prices falling again to the mid-60s, and then spring and summer 2015 prices in the mid to higher 60s.
Right now, the pork industry is in the midst of record profits. Those should remain strong in the second and third quarter of this year, with profits for those not strongly impacted by PEDV over $70 a head on average for the six-month period. Those profits, however, are expected to decrease in the final quarter of 2014 to about $40 per head. Prospects for the first three quarters of 2015 also appear positive, with estimated profits at about $20 on average. There is some good news on the feed input side of the hog production. Sharp declines in soybean meal prices this fall are expected to be an important contributor to lower costs of production.
However, with continued buildup of the breeding herd and reduced impacts from PED next winter, hog prices could drop back to levels that are closer to break even by late 2015 and into 2016.
While the horror of heavy death losses from PEDV, an entire month's worth of piglets born and lost, was emotionally difficult for any producer to experience, Chris Hertz says the industry has now seen some positive economic benefits of that disease. The biggest concern for the industry, he thinks, is a potential overexpansion of 2015 pork supplies. That excess expansion could be based on too large of a breeding herd, followed by a winter with limited damage from PEDV, and one other item, the possibility of a competitively big surge in 2015 poultry supplies. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Ben Pruce must be out on the golf course again this afternoon, maybe with one of the soybean end users like he was last week. He didn't answer. That's all right. We have from the Andersons, Greg Johnson, right here in Champaign County on the phone line. Hi, Greg. How are you today?
Good, Todd. How are you?
Well, you don't get to go out on those nice golf outings, do you?
I guess not.
Hey, so what are producers saying this week after the USDA report? How are they talking to you?
Well, yeah, I think at this point they've watched this market sell off 60 to 70 cents in corn and they kind of realize that they wish they would have sold a little bit more old crop and maybe a little bit of new crop corn. But at this point, the horse is out the door. So I think we're about a month away from pollination. So most of them have the attitude we're just going to wait and hopefully everything still, the weather-wise, still looks good in another month and a half. But and if it is, they'll sell that old crop corn for a little bit less, but at least they'll know they'll have some new crop to take its place.
Are they worried that they're only going to be at break even at this time?
Well,
new crop.
They're worried, but you know the market doesn't care if farmers can make money or not. I mean, most of the time, actually, you know, there is not a profitable return. You know, through you know, you take 12 months out of the year, and many of those months there is not a profitable return. So if we have too much corn, the function of the market is to get the price down low enough to, you know, encourage people to use it at those lower prices. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I they're worried, but all the worry doesn't change the price, I guess.
Is it low enough yet?
No. I mean, short term, maybe we're due for a little bit of a bounce if we can get into July and get some people worried about the hot, dry weather, if that develops. It's the subsoil moisture out west in parts of Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota are not nearly what it is from here on east. So, you know, we may see a little bit of a bounce, but if we have the kind of crop that some people are projecting, we're probably still looking at lower prices down the road.
Thanks much for filling in.
All right. Thank you.
Greg Johnson with the Andersons back in 2 minutes to take a look at the weather forecast.
It's National Lobster Day. Prior to the 20th century, lobster was not a popular food in the U.S. In fact, eating lobster was considered a mark of poverty, or as a food for slaves or lower members of society. And lobsters were also used as a fertilizer for farms. The market for lobster changed when modern transportation methods allowed the live shipping of lobster from ports to large cities inland. On this day in agricultural history in 1789, Elizabeth Hamilton, wife of Alexander Hamilton, the first Secretary of the Treasury, is said to have served a new dessert treat to General George Washington. The highlight of the dinner party was ice cream. After its introduction, ice cream often appeared on the presidential Thursday dinner menu. By the way, an entry in Washington's ledger reveals that he purchased a cream machine for ice at Mount Vernon. In 1817, Richard Lovell Edgeworth died, an Anglo-Irish inventor. Among his many inventions and innovations was a turnip cutter, as well as various improvements in agricultural machines, including a one-wheeled carriage adopted to go over narrow roads. And in 1893, African-American inventor T.W. Stewart received a patent for a mop. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Now, here's Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey with today's weather forecast.
The statewide average temperature for June so far was 70 degrees and about one half of a degree above average. The statewide average rainfall was 3.4 inches, which is about equal to what we had in all of May and well on the way to the average June rainfall of 4.2 inches. Amounts of 4 to 6 inches were common south of Interstate 80, including parts of western Illinois, which has been dry. Rivers and streams as well as topsoil moisture have improved quite a bit in that area. The National Weather Service forecasts show a warm, wet week is in store for Illinois. Highs on Saturday will range from the upper 70s to low 80s. From Sunday through Wednesday, highs will range from the low to mid 80s in northern Illinois, from the mid to upper 80s in central Illinois, and from the upper 80s to low 90s in southern Illinois. Humidity levels will be high as well. Dew point temperatures will be in the 50s on Sunday, but climb into the upper 60s and low 70s by Monday, and remain at those levels through the week. There is a chance of rain from Sunday through Wednesday, including thunderstorms. Rainfall totals will be in the range of 1 to 3 inches in central and northern Illinois, and likely less than an inch in southern Illinois. The 6 to 10-day and 8 to 14-day forecasts for Illinois are for near-average temperatures and above-average rainfall. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This agricultural program is a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In Chicago, the weekly changes from Friday to Friday look like this. July corn, $4.57.5 the high. The low for the week at $4.39.25. Settlement price down 12 cents at $4.47. December at $4.47.5. The new crop settled 10 and a quarter cents lower on the week. July soybeans for the week had a high at $14.75 and a quarter, a low at $14.10. Settlement price there at $14.25 3/4, down 31 and a quarter. November beans, $12.21 1/4, finished 2.5 cents higher. July soybean meal at $4.67.90, finished down $19.70, and bean oil at $36.69, finished 68 cents higher for the week. Wheat futures high on the week in the July soft red at $6.26 1/4, the low at $5.83 1/2, and a settlement price down 32 1/4 cents Friday to Friday at $5.86. July soft red winter wheat, the hard red at $7.13 1/4, and the harvest month July down 22 1/4. August feeder cattle finished in a gap higher at $208.15, up $7.62 1/2 cents for the week. August live cattle spiked higher at $146.62 1/2, up $5.32 1/2, and July lean hogs for the week at $127 per 100 pounds, finished $2.02 1/2 cents higher. Find us online at willag.org.